I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
Hello, it's Hannah here. I just wanted to give you a little heads up before you start listening to this episode. Now, we have recorded it via Zoom and it is technically not the best. We're still figuring out how to do this. So stick with it. It's a little bit patchy, but once you start listening to it, you kind of get into the zone with how it sounds. And it's worth it because it's a great chat we have with our guest. So please listen along and we're going to get better at this. I hope your lockdown's going okay. And if it's all over and you're listening to this, then this is where we are. We're in lockdown. All right. Enjoy. Bye.
Hello and welcome back to the Keith Cheggers podcast. This is episode 26.
Whoa.
Yeah. That's like half the year's worth.
It is half the year's worth.
I'm Hannah Norris. I'm your host and I'm here with another person.
Carl Donnelly.
Yeah, my co-host and husband.
Yes.
That's all I'm calling you today.
Yeah. The other episode, you said lover and I almost got sick.
Yeah. And we are still in lockdown, but as promised and hoped, we do have a guest with us again today. We've been trying to talk to this person for ages, weeks and months, I think. There's been a few times.
Yeah, we tried to organise it, but it's hard because locations, schedules,
and
children.
But now we're all at home. It's kind of working out. Yeah. So she's a comedian and she has her own podcast called Funny Mummies. And she hosts some events, which Carl does, called Screaming with Laughter.
Yeah, organizer of gigs for parents with young babies up to sort of nearing toddlers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're amazing. So Screaming with Laughter, any of you pregnant people, go and check that out. Because once you've had a baby, you can go and drink some beers and some comedy. And
you can drink Prosecco at midday.
Yeah. And her name is Hattie Ashdown. So hi, Hattie.
Hello. Sorry, hi. I didn't know if you wanted to come in or not. I was just enjoying it.
Biog.
Yeah, I've been doing a few of these hosting myself, so it's so nice to just be able to sit back and be asked stuff.
I think they're all relevant credits as well, you know, for our listeners.
I'm pretty much covering. Well, almost all the bases, not quite pregnancy so much. Although we do always say pregnant ladies and men. I was going to say and men. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The other half. I mean, that would be a scoop. If we got our first pregnant man at my club, that's what I need.
Carl's giving it a go.
I'm having sympathy issues in a minute. The other day, I actually called the doctors because I had some nipple issues. I'm not somebody who calls the doctors. Like, I'm not a hypochondriac. I'm very, very rarely ill. I just had very tender nipples.
Wow.
And to the point where I was like, maybe I've got breast cancer. But then it was just, I called the doctors and they said, right, call back on Monday. And over the weekend, it just totally disappeared. It was just sympathy pains.
Oh, and are you getting tender nipples, Hannah? Or?
No, well, I've been attempting to do some nipple scouring.
Scouring?
Yeah, that's what someone. So my friend Laura in Australia she'd been advised throughout pregnancy, just every now and then rough them up a little bit. So then once the baby comes, they're not as tender. So I've got this like exfoliator, which is basically ball of twigs, and every now and then I give my nipples a scrub. But I've got this book that my mum gave me that was my grandmother's called Mothercraft, and in there it's from the 1940s, and it talks about giving your nipples a bit of a scour. So I kind of like that.
Is that what you've been using? Is that what you've
been... I've not been scouring. Ironically, mine felt like they'd been scoured, even though I hadn't touched them.
I noticed, you know, they're stimulating the boobs while you're pregnant, you know, to sort of help the milk come, I guess. And I know you've had Jen Brister on here, have you, or not?
No. That's a
Jen Brister's book, Other Mother, I was reading a bit in there just the other day, actually, where she says about, you know, people tell you loads of stuff, as you know, we'll probably get onto that later. When you're pregnant, they just love to tell you stuff all the time.
I want to know it all, so
sometimes unsolicited advice, but you become public property when you're pregnant. And she was, but obviously Jen Brister, for those who don't know, is the other mother, as in she didn't her and her lesbian partner, she carried them, the other one carried them, the other one. Chloe carried them, Jen didn't, and she was absolutely happy about that. But people, I think, felt sorry for her more than she did, and wanted to include you. And people were like, well, do you know, actually, if you started to sort of stimulate the boobs a bit, you might be able to get some milk in. And she was like, why would I want to do that?
Yeah.
I'm quite happy that I've got away with not having to carry these babies. Thank you very much. So I know that's a thing. And also, you reminded me, I remember, not to scare you, but I remember, I say today, because I found it quite fascinating. I did with my first child, didn't have it with my second. One day I was like, he wasn't very old. He must have been 4 weeks, maybe. And I thought, why is his nipples really hard? They were really, really hard. And I thought,
his nipples.
His nipples. And it wasn't, you know, because some people say it can, there's all sorts of things they can have from trauma of birth, apparently. But this was after, you know, way after birth. But they said it was milk. I was breastfeeding him. It's like all the hormones and stuff start to go a bit, I don't know. Right. I just said, but it didn't last very long.
I'll get some of that.
Hard little nipples, but they look like... but luckily it didn't last long.
There you go, Carl. You might have been getting some milk in.
You might have been.
I'll get one of them pumps on, see if I can get anything out.
Oh, the pumps. Well, I'm just getting rid of lots of stuff, so if you need anything, I'll send it over.
We have, because of the lockdown, we currently, you know, we're what, 8 weeks out?
Yeah.
And we still haven't technically bought anything.
Yeah, we like so obviously this podcast has been about pregnancy, and we've been learning so much, and we're definitely at the kind of spiky end where it's now about the baby who's going to be here soon, and those things, like, I definitely felt in this last week those bits of anxiety about am I ready, are we ready, like, just in kind of physical things, like, do we have stuff ready, like, we don't have a bed yet,
no,
and we don't know what that's gonna be. It's kind of kind of choose between what sort of place
we haven't decided on. For the first 6 months, Moses basket or one of them little bedside cots that have the
fold, the one that joins to it.
So we're still in the discussion phase over that.
For me, it's very easy decided by being very poor, so in a box it went. In the drawer, bottom drawer. My friend gave me one of the white wooden cribs that it sort of rocks a little bit. And she said, it was so handy, at night I could just rock it with my foot. She was like, I'd lay in bed. Because we didn't have much money. And I thought, I'm going with that. And also, I just had this feeling I was going to have big bloody babies.
Yeah.
And a lot of people told me the Moses basket, they were like, they grow out of it within a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And so this crib is like, it does last them pretty much up to sort of 5-6 months.
Yeah.
So like goes, like, you know what, my sister, I mean, because she had twins, she was like, well, I can't be messing about with Moses and then a cot. At the end of the day, it's fine just to put them in a big cot because they're not going to move.
So yeah.
I just go straight to getting a cot. Now I think, don't mess about.
Good tip.
Yeah. I have, like, I kind of got really on the Moses basket wagon, but like, definitely still that thing.
I know, because they look so nice.
They look so nice. I know.
You're not meant to get second hand. You know about that, yeah.
No.
With the, but you can get, I thought you can't get the mat, like you can put mattresses.
Yeah, so you
in.
Get yourself a brand new mattress.
Yeah.
And get the base secondhand. That's what.
Yeah. And that's what, like, doing quite a bit of looking on eBay and things like
that. Yeah,
yeah. And Carl found a really, really nice looking vintage wicker Moses basket the other day. That's like, what was it? The £5 bid on it.
I'm still the leading bidder and I put a maximum of £15. So. This is going to be like the pram. We've got the coolest pram.
The biggest, the biggest.
Oh, I love getting the pram.
Massive, big 60s Marmette pram.
Have you?
Yeah, I got it for £13. And we steam cleaned it, everything. It's now ready to go. It's beautiful.
Oh,
and, this Moses basket might be the next phase of my getting excellent eBay wins.
Yeah. Which are great, but they also have their little downsides. Like yesterday, we were trying to maneuver the pram around the house and out of the house, and it is massive. Like, it's massive.
I mean, yeah, I've got to take a bit off the front door to get it out.
Yeah.
I mean, but that's right.
You're going to look great.
it's all about the accessory.
This nice Moses basket. I went and read the ad, and I saw that it said Moses basket for toys or dolls.
Well, they're recommending it's not because it's old and it's quite fragile. I think they don't really think you should put a baby in it. I'm like, hang on. Well, I'll be the judge of that.
Yeah. Just remember, honestly, they did used to put them in drawers. This is what my mum tells me all the time.
They'd
be in the bloody bottom drawer, be fine.
Yeah.
Do you know what sort of, you know, weight expectation at the moment?
Well, she said the last scan we had, she was in the 99th percentile.
So, but you don't look very big, but yeah, you could be
a
baby, as they say, or whatever.
Yeah, that's the thing that's definitely been happening this week. I'm like, so it's 8 weeks or 9 weeks to go until the due date. And it's, I can't see how there's any more space in my stomach.
Yeah, it amazes you.
But also that thing of going, that's not long until she's going to be here.
Yeah.
But that means 8 or 9 weeks still of growing.
Yeah.
That's still a shitload of time to get bigger and keep growing. I can't imagine it right now.
No. And also it's getting like, you get just in this last week, I'd say, Hannah's just got to that bit of it being quite funny watching her try and get off the sofa.
Oh, right. But generally your mobility has been quite normal.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, until this last week, you wouldn't even think
from really
moving around or anything.
That's just great.
Absolutely, like being totally normal in movement and everything. But it's this last week. Suddenly, it's been the slight effort.
Yes, yeah,
like when you're horizontal. Slight...
just so many. Like I had to rock climb.
I'm having to start like
positions.
You know, to helping her up.
But generally, you've just picked up speed then. You've had quite a good pregnancy. Have you had any sickness? Have you had any?
No, I had some. I was tired mainly at the beginning and a bit nauseous, but nothing bad. Second trimester, there was nothing. I was getting my cervix checked regularly because they were worried it was going to shorten because of some surgery I had a few years ago when I had some abnormal cells removed.
Oh, right.
So I've been on progesterone for ages, actually. So I'm still taking progesterone.
Okay.
Up the fanny.
I'm saying okay, like a midwife, like I know.
Yes, yes.
Okay, yeah, that's good.
Yep. Making a note of that.
So that's one of the hormones, which I read yesterday. Progesterone actually stops your milk coming in too early. And I've been noticing, I don't think my boobs are that big yet.
Yeah.
So I think when I stop progesterone, maybe I'll get massive boobs.
Yeah, don't.
That's why I'm developing milk in.
Yes.
Because Hannah's not.
It's going to you.
I'm taking that on instead.
Oh, my God, Hannah. It would be so good if you could just share the breastfeed. I mean, I know a lot of women say, oh, it's such a special time, me and the baby. And I would say I had some good times with breastfeeding. Yeah. But it would definitely have been nice to share it because you just get to a point where you're like, other people are complete opposite to this, but
yeah,
some people like the kind of like, this baby only needs me and all that. And I kind of get that, but at 2 a.m. in the morning and then again at 3 a.m., you're like, oh, please, just, you know, I'd like to have a little rest. But I found it quite uncomfortable breastfeeding. Yeah. I didn't have like the mastitis infection stuff or anything like that, thank God.
Yeah.
That sounds horrendous. Carrie Ann Lloyd was another one to get on. She had it really, really bad, and she's just had her second child. But I am a what you called an overproducer.
Oh yeah.
I produce a lot of milk. So if someone bash into me, you get a face full. my sister had it as well, and she lived in Germany at the time, and she said that she was actually freezing her milk and giving it to the local hospital for prem babies and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's doing a good thing. I didn't do any of that. I just but when you're overproducing, it's like you do get in a lot of pain because it's coming in all the time and blah, blah, blah. And I feel bad saying that because I know a lot of women were there with those express machines and they get like a tiny bit. And there'd be me, like, friends believe it. They're like, what? You've just done like, I don't know, 8 ounces within a couple of seconds.
Yeah.
But it meant my boobs were huge and I was really envious of those women that would sit in cafes and you'd hardly know they're breastfeeding.
Yeah.
Just be like, there. Whereas I would be full on show. I'd need 2 tables, you know, just prop the baby's head. I'd have to take a cushion. I had a massive cushion to take out with me.
Yeah.
At the bottom of my buggy. And so, yeah. So I think that sort of stopped enjoyment because it was always such an ordeal. But at home, you know, it was better because obviously I could just...
Does that mean the babies were feeding a lot as well, or you were overproducing? Did you have to get rid of it, or what happens when you got too much?
Well, this is with the first child, and I didn't know what was happening because I was reading books and also babies should feed now for can be up to 40 minutes.
Yeah.
And he was just going on and would be off in 15, 20 minutes. And I thought, oh my God, he's not getting enough milk. And so then the midwife said, you've obviously got the full fat stuff and he's obviously getting it really fast, so don't worry about it. So it was quite good from that point of view. I guess I wasn't sat there feeding for ages and ages. So from that point of view, I think it made my babies not be those sort of babies that were like just wanting to feed. Yeah. They were quite on and off, that's it. And both times I actually had to stop breastfeeding because it's a funny thing happens every time I'm pregnant, I get an overactive thyroid. Fun fact.
So what does that do?
Well, it's quite nice in the sense that when I first had it, I thought, hey, this breastfeeding, that's great. I'm eating all the cake and I'm losing all the weight. People were saying to me, as my sister said, she went, oh, you got the good one. Because you can get the underactive.
I thought when you actually put on weight.
But the overactive, I was like eating dinners. I was having 2 cakes and I'm breastfeeding and I'm losing loads of weight. And I thought, look out, this breastfeeding's all right. And then one day I was at a rhyme time, as you do, winding the bobbin up. I'm sitting there on the floor with my baby and I go, why not bobbing up? And I looked at my leg and it was just like shaking. And I thought, I don't think that's normal. And then I was at my sister's and I was really hot and everyone else is really cold. She went, I think I might have a thyroid problem. So off I went. And they said, yeah, you can get it post-pregnancy. Pregnancy just sets something off.
Hormones and everything, yeah.
You can get it while you're pregnant, but the symptoms are so... they can be quite low and you don't really know you've got it. And also they can go with how you feel in pregnancy anyway. So, yeah. But then you have to take a drug. I don't know, stop me if this is boring.
No, keep going.
I had to take a drug. I take like beta blockers as well because my heart was racing. So,
yeah.
I remember one time I was laying on the kitchen floor. My mother-in-law, my husband were like, you're all right. Yeah, there's a delay here. And of course I was taking all these drugs. I had to come off breastfeeding because it might go through to him. But when I had the second baby, I breastfed a lot longer because they said that research now was finding that, like with alcohol, not as much is going through. So they said it's fine. The pros of breastfeeding outweigh what little bit of drug that you might get.
Yeah.
So I did for a bit longer, and then.
Well, how long? Do you want to say how long? Because Hannah last night just told me, you told me that some they recommend like
the NHS
2 years
and the World Health Organization. Yeah. Their recommendation is 2 years for breastfeeding.
No, I was out a couple of weeks. I took it. Okay, so I so quickly, first one was seven months, and then the second one 8-9 months.
Yeah.
But I was, my mum like was so proud that I breastfed. I think she was more proud of me breastfeeding than any show I've done or any sitcom I've written. she couldn't believe it. She just. Oh, you're still feeding. And I was like, yeah, well, I really want to try. And she would always sort of say, just take it week by week, because there was times at the beginning I did want to stop, because when the meal's coming through, for me, and not everyone had this, I talked to lots of friends who said, no, I didn't have it. When it was coming through, it was so painful.
Right. Yeah.
And I had all the cabbage leaves and all like that. And I remember this night when I said, well, it's still painful, I'm fucking not doing it tomorrow. And he went, okay, and he would always just support me. I then finally just broke through a wall, and it got less painful. I hope, like, if you want to do combined feeding, is that something you're thinking about, or don't know?
Well, that's another thing, because we're both vegans, so the formula, like, there's not really any vegan formula. So
they do it. I belong to a Facebook page. I forgot what it's called now. Quite a good one. Vegan Mummy something. I'll find it for you.
Okay. And I know there's
ones, some babies have intolerance to
them. Yeah.
From what I was looking, like, most of them are suitable from a bit later on.
Well, yeah. Tanya Edwards told us about it. She, because her son is he's lactose intolerant from
my second son is lactose we later found out, but the recommendation I think you'll find is they say, look, if you do it up to 6 months, that's great, because that's when they start having solids. I think maybe up to a year if you can. I say I didn't manage any more than 9 months because of the drugs thing, and I'm afraid I'm a bit of a, like, once they got teeth, no, thank you.
To me,
I've always had that weird thing about the moment that they can say, like, mummy, booby or something, it's like, so get off.
Or they could walk, I just think the fact they could walk up to you and do it. It's like, that's your, no, you walk to the fridge, mate, and get yourself a snack.
And who is it? Someone said, if they've got shoes on.
Yeah. No, I think there is that. Because they become a little person then, not a baby, don't they? And I think there is something weird about having a, like, did you see the video of that baby that's massive that went around the internet? The big, we're talking, it can't be more than 6 months old, but it looks the size of like a maybe 30 to 40 year old man.
Right.
Like, bald guy. It looks just like a big, bald man in a nappy, but it's not, it's a baby. imagine that baby breastfeeding.
Yeah.
But I get, again, like you're saying, how breastfeeding is so different for everyone. There's, that some people, obviously, where it's very important, and that is such a bonding thing, and to do that as long as you can, and who knows. But I've always, as a non-pregnant person, I've always been like, oh,
have
yucky.
You?
Yeah, like I always imagined I'd breastfeed, I guess. But that
you wasn't like, oh, I can't wait. You were just kind of
no. And I think I've come around to the idea of, there's, because that thing about having a baby on your boobs, when for your whole life until that point your boobs have had another meaning.
I'm going to tell you something now, which I don't know if anyone else has talked about, but let's be honest, we're all thinking about the sexual side, right?
Yeah.
And something happens, it's amazing, I don't know what, maybe it's the hormones of the milk, but that feeling, it's not the same.
Yeah.
That's what I'm going to say.
It's just
the feeling off you, it does not feel like your boyfriend.
Girlfriend. Yeah.
I don't know, it's an amazing chemical that happens. It's just too different. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know.
Well, obviously it would have to be for it to, to be able to be a useful function than a feeding function. Like,
I have, there's me and I've got four sisters, and my other sister, she was his mother earth, as they would call her, breastfed for the whole of Germany. There was my other two sisters opposite. One said, oh no, their bedroom thing. And my other sister, it was awful. She would walk in when I'm breastfeeding and she would go, oh, You're doing that again.
Yeah. So that's why your mum was proud that you were doing.
Yeah. She thought she'd only got one daughter bloody breastfeeding. And she breastfed four girls, you know. She did it. She did it, and her knockers look quite great as she got older.
I always imagined I would. I like that it's free.
Yes.
And I like that idea, you know, the kind of nutrients and that sort of, the natural part of it. I guess I imagined I would always do it.
I would like that it's a natural medicine. I always love that idea that, like, when they get a little cold, apparently your body just creates what your baby needs at that time, if it's got a tummy ache or a bit of a cold. I always found that amazing. It is a magical feeling.
Yeah.
So we had a midwife appointment this week. We went to the hospital, which was an outing.
Yeah, it was. first time I put jeans on in four weeks.
It was the first time, the furthest we'd been from our house since we got back from Australia 4 weeks ago.
Yeah.
We got an Uber there and Carl couldn't get the seatbelt done up.
I forgot how to do a seatbelt.
Because you put so much lockdown weight on.
I just couldn't work it out. It was some from an old time. It was like
old timey things.
Yeah, so trying to put a gramophone on or
or do knitting.
Yeah, I just was like, what's happening here?
Yeah.
Trying to clean out the bedpans.
We made it to the hospital, but then because this would usually have been a children's centre, but they're closed right now.
Right, okay.
And Carl wasn't allowed into the appointment with me.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and that was because they're just trying to limit the amount of contact between patients and the staff at the hospital. Yeah, true. So he waited out there and I just went in and chatted to her, and I thought we were going to talk a bit more about kind of birth and birth options and things like that, but basically she measured me and then we listened to the heartbeat, which you said
I reckon I was 20 foot away from the actual door of the room, but it was so quiet in the waiting room that I just suddenly heard that
that galloping horse.
Yeah
I love that.
Yeah, so that was good to hear, because I've had lots of scans, so it's the longest ever, I think, that we haven't had any kind of
visual
contact or like audio contact. So that was good. And then I did ask her at the end just about kind of birth options, because we have talked about home birth. I met some amazing, I went to a session at St. Mary's Paddington, because they offer them, I think, once a month, where just some of the midwives hold a session and you can ask whatever questions you want to. And the women were amazing. And I learned a lot, and it seemed like a really great service, and because they work in the wards as well, and you know they're part of the hospital staff, but at the moment they're not offering home births, mainly because the ambulances can't guarantee they can attend.
Yeah, if an emergency happens. Yeah.
If you're a fan of all things geeky, you're going to love Con Sessions, a brand new podcast by comedian Matt Hinton and myself, Beck Hill, where we interview your favourite cult heroes at Comic-Cons all across the world. We've got stars from Star Wars, Harry Potter, The Walking Dead and more. Make sure you tune in soon to Con Sessions.
Great Big Owl.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I did do a hypnobirthing as much as I could, and I've remained friends with the, well, she, in true Hattie fashion, I made her do some vlogs with me, because when I was pregnant the first time, I did these real preggy vlogs. I can't remember what I called them now. They were on YouTube, and so she came on and talked, they're still out there, and she's fantastic, and I've kept friends with her, and she runs her courses, and yeah, so I still listen, even when she's talking. She puts up videos about talking about pregnancy. I still watch them, because she's such.
Does she do most, she does hypnobirthing videos.
Well, she's got the most amazing calm voice. I still. What's her name? She could just be. So Sophie. I'll get the official. But she's. I think she's just started. Call it something different now. I want to feel like I want to mention it on the podcast, so I'm going to.
Yeah, we can always.
But what about you, mate? Because I think actually, she's Sophie Kirkham, but I've forgotten. I think she's Calm Something. She's called. Are you still? Whereabouts are you based?
We're in Northwest London. Wilson,
she's an
area.
Yeah, she's So she's in your old area. She's
Southwest.
Southwest. Calm Hypnobirthing. You can go to that page. Calmhypnobirthing.com.
Cool.
She's near sort of Lewisham, Hither Green, you see. So I don't know if it's your area.
I used to live in Blackheath briefly.
Yes. So I learned from her. She was, that's what she does a lot. You know, she's a doula as well.
Yeah.
For those that don't know what that means, it's someone who attends the birth other than your partner. But because obviously they're reducing people and whatever, she can't do all that at the moment.
Yeah.
She's been saying, yes, that they very sadly can't do the home births because they need the midwives on the labour ward.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But from her point of view, she was saying, this is what she's like, makes me so happy. I know that those wonderful midwives that normally do home births are now on the labour wards, giving mothers a much more calmer birth.
Yeah.
Because her whole thing is like, as most hospitals now have this sort of like the little fake hotel bit.
The birth centre.
The birth centre, I call it.
Yeah.
Well, it is, because we've talked about this, and we did a tour of the birth centre.
Two minute tour.
Oh yeah, just shipped around.
And there's three lovely rooms, and they obviously we're yet to meet somebody who's actually had the baby in a.
Yes, I used to say it's a bloody myth.
I'm convinced they Airbnb it out. And we just get to see it in between the cleaner.
It all looks too clean and perfect. I'm another one. I had my first child in Lewisham Hospital, and I went there and we started, and I was so excited about being in there, and I had my soundtrack and all this nonsense.
Yeah.
And, I'd done all the hypnobirthing. I loved the hypnobirthing. I'm running you through it really quickly. But I loved it because it was good to do with my partner. Looking back now, that was a good thing for us to do together. He would listen to the tapes as well.
Yeah.
And it was just, yeah. And I love going to the classes together, but I know Sophie's doing the classes online. It just made us spend that time together. And I thought, oh, right, because I know my partner can be he's quite calm, but also can be so calm, he almost shuts down.
Yeah.
And I was like, in the birth, I'm quite a doer, and I would be the one that, if it's the other way around, I'd be like, right, we need this, we need that.
Yeah.
So I wanted to give him tools, and I thought this would be a good way of giving him tools to do. So we sort of talked through, like, okay, this one, do this, but ask for this music. Like, we don't want these words. And all.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So if you've been doing a little bit of hypnobirthing, you know what I'm talking about.
I've read the book, and I put it on cut. Yes, it's on my reading pile.
So they just don't like you to use all a lot of negative words and stuff like that. So,
not contractions. It's like surges.
Yeah, but just also just being
allowing things.
An example is, I had my birth plan all written out, and then you go in there, and the midwife went, she'd examined me, and I thought at that point in a lot of pain, and I thought, oh, we must be further along. Yeah, and she went, okay, everything's looking lovely. You're about 1 centimetre. No, it could be days. And I went,
yeah,
that's negative. So people say that's negative because you don't want it. You're thinking the now and each minute, you know, just like I was like, you're gonna think of like, no, that's negative. But yeah, but summing it up, mainly what I loved about hypnobirthing was the process of being pregnant, doing the classes, and I would say on both my births, the breathing really, really helped. I don't think I could have got through it, because when the contractions come, it is quite frightening, and you're like, whoa, 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 whoa. And I have one of those things where not everyone gets it, where the contractions are really close together. So then when it stops, some people, you watch these videos, don't you? And they go off and make a cup of tea, and they watch a comedy video and all this. Mine, I'm like, whoa, it's coming again. So for me, the breathing exercises gave me a bit of control.
About how much time, when you're saying they're coming so closely?
Oh, like 30 seconds. Like literally, it would go, and the midwife would go, because we hadn't even got into the room. So we'd gone into the 70s hotel room, I call it. And they're putting, we haven't even got our bags down. I'm like, oh, I'm coming, you know.
Yeah.
It would stop, and she'd go, okay, let's get you in a comfortable position. I go, okay, it's coming.
Yeah.
So we're in the 70s room, and I really wanted a pool birth, and there wasn't one available. And so she was like, look, it will be available. Let's just hang in this room, have a shower. And shower was lovely. That really, really helped me.
Esther Manito said the same thing.
Did she?
Yeah.
I don't know what it was, the water, obviously. But then eventually, I wanted to get out. I've been in there ages, and got the soundtrack going. And
what was on your, do you remember some of the things on your soundtrack?
Well, was it Arcade Fire? Leave the Car Running.
Yeah.
Will always make me think of being in that bloody shower now. Because it felt like, I probably had like 20 songs, but it felt like that song just kept coming on.
Yeah.
Leave the Car Running. So I got out, and then as I got out, my waters broke like a movie. And I had the midwife trainee. This is my tip for me. They said, do you mind having a trainee midwife? And I said, I was at this point in pain where I didn't care. I was like, let them all in.
Yeah.
And I said, absolutely. And she was fantastic. And what's really good is a lot of the time the midwives are so busy, so they're going to other people that you might think you're important, but someone else is even more important a lot of the time. But the student one stayed with you the whole time.
That's a good tip.
And I loved it. And I remembered her name, Tamara. And I was like, Tabitha. I was like, if I was having a go, I called her Tabitha. I was so in love with her. Anyway, tsunami happened. She went, whoa. And I went, what? She went, I've never seen it. It's like in a movie, you know, like where.
Yeah.
But that meant, unfortunately, we had to leave that room because there was poo-poo in there.
Oh, yeah.
Which you've probably heard people talk about. So if there's meconium in there, you have to go to the labour ward because you have to be linked up to a monitor, sadly. So that's why I left the little room. But it was nice that time that I spent.
Yeah.
Also, the next Airbnb lot coming in.
Yeah, exactly. They've got to clean it up.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. That's got a rating down, all that poo on the floor. But
go on. No, you go. The second one.
I feel like I'm not telling you good news, but
I
still did manage to have it in the lovely hotel room, birthing suite, because with Buster, he's very much his namesake, was absolutely huge, and had been juiced, and they said when you're juiced, you can't go in the water. I think they've got to monitor you. But so big. They were worried about he was going to have shoulder dysmorphia.
Right. Yeah.
So the shoulders can get stuck and they might have to break them to get out or something.
God. Yeah.
I was like, oh, great. But with Buster, so I was a bit,
So did they induce you before your due date for him, or when did that kind of?
Yeah, a little bit, because he was getting so big and they were worried about his size. So they did induce me. And never again would I be choosed. But yeah, that again was because it was like a heat wave and I was stuck in hospital for 3 days and it was just all that business.
Yeah.
Once it works, once it fucking kicks in, it didn't work the first time, it's like, woohoo! We're like, yeah, better labour. And, you know, so that was good. And my labour the second time was like 8 hours, which, honestly, that's a walk in the park. I don't know
what yeah. Like last week, because when I had a phone consultation with the doctor the other week, she said she'd like to invite me to be induced in my 39th week because I'm 40 years old and because it's an IVF baby.
Right.
And I would prefer not to do that.
Right.
And so I was kind of talking about it in our podcast last week or the one before. And I've been reading some things about induction. Like I've been reading kind of some natural hippie books and
yeah,
hypnobirthing ones.
All the rubbing the feet stuff. The
And Ina May Gaskell about the farm in America where they have, like, it's all kind of home birthy stuff. And about the thing about trusting your baby to be ready to be born. And some statistics, which I think was, you know, the World Health Organization suggests, I think it's 10%. Of births are induced. I think in the UK it's around 20%. So there's this suggestion that it happens more than it should be happening.
Yeah.
However, obviously the hospitals have their reasons for doing that. And you can't know at the time, can you, if you're going to be...
No.
Like
you can, and you just want to do the best for...
Yeah.
You know, you've got these medics telling you, and it's... I wouldn't have done it had it not been for it being so big and then worrying... because I am from the natural point of view. There's a comedian, I don't know if you'll get time to yeah, put her on, but you should try and have Viv Grosskopf because she's absolutely brilliant on this topic.
Yeah.
She's also written an article, I think it's still in the Guardian, she wrote it years ago, and it was about, she's got three children, and I think actually her last one, she was about 40, I think, and she was so adamant about waiting. And I can't remember how long it is, but it's something like 42 weeks.
Yeah.
She just waited. She was, and they were not happy with her. She was like, yeah, I want, you know, she gives in this article all good reasons to
write. Really? Yeah, I know, Viv. That'd be good to...
Yeah.
You should speak to her about it. She's brilliant on the topic. But yeah, I think go for it. I think try
yeah,
and, because, you know, looking back, I didn't have any choice, but it didn't know. I had like 6 bloody sweeps. I was sick of going in there for sweeps.
Yeah.
And it was painful. I did suckle. When they had to do all the epi thing where they put it up you, it got it all going. And obviously yeah, for medical reasons, you know, had to get it out, because my also thing was that I didn't read nothing wrong with cesarean, but I was kind of like, I got away with not having cesarean the first yeah, time. I really want to try not to. So I was also worried if I didn't do that, that then it might end up being a cesarean. So you sort of have to make that choice.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But
I guess that's like over this time of being pregnant, I realized, and I think I said it before, that I was born by cesarean. Mm. And so I think in the back of my head, I assumed that I would have a baby by cesarean, but did now, that, yeah, I just kind of was like, oh, that's how it will happen. But now being in the process, like I definitely want to, I want to see what it's like.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with with Huxley, my first one. I came so close because his heart rate had started to drop because I've been in labor for so long.
Yeah.
I was getting exhausted and the baby gets in. It's like, his heart rate slightly stopped. So we might have to sort of like gown up ready.
Yeah.
And they got me to sign this thing. At this point, I was so exhausted and so in pain. I just went, yes.
Yeah.
Honestly, you just don't care. But what we're gonna try the Von Tooth.
Yeah,
I think sounds like a 1940s dance.
Yeah,
try that first. The beautiful thing, I got the injection that they give you to have a cesarean.
Yeah,
it is an amazing injection. And I just like was so happy. But you have to push without nothing, feeling nothing going your waist down, and then they pull out the Von Tooth.
Yeah.
But no, he came out, he was fine. So I still felt kind of like, well, he's came out down below.
Yeah.
That'll do.
Yeah.
But with Buster, was a bit more natural. And I felt what the food like? I definitely shut up shop now.
Yeah.
I had the, but I'm a woman of a certain age as well. So I asked for the epidural and I kept asking for it. And because I keep saying, is there a conspiracy not to have it? Like, is it because it costs a lot of money? Because you hear all these stories about people saying, but I think you just have to get it at such a point that then it goes along too far. But I was determined to have it. Anyway, got it all in and everything. And then you're working, you get this button to press to like shoot more drugs of it. I'm like, it's not doing anything. Anyway, I said, a contraction came. I went, I can still feel the head. She said, oh, you think this sort of takes away the pain?
Yeah.
I was like, what? Anyway, afterwards, Alex said to me, I think they just tell people that because it doesn't work for everybody.
Right.
They don't want to freak you out.
Yeah.
But I was like, I tell you what, it was a different experience. And I felt bloody proud of myself.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I wasn't proud of myself with Huxley, but actually being like, oh, I pushed that motherfucker out.
Yeah.
Was like, when Huxley came out, the first words I said was, it's a baby!
Yeah.
You'll probably have it. You're just like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because it's just this thing on a scan. But with Buster, I just... pulled him out and put him on me. I went, I'm so proud of myself.
Yeah.
Well, it's that, like, we watched an episode
of
The Handmaid's Tale the other night.
Oh, yeah.
That's been our lockdown entertainment.
Yeah. Our daily is two episodes of Curb Your Enthusiasm, two episodes of Handmaid's Tale.
Oh, right.
There's an episode where she gives birth and it sort of charts her birth now versus her birth before.
Oh yes, I know.
We don't want to ruin it for everyone, but
no, I see. Know,
two time frames involved, and both of them, both the births are so intense and different.
Carl's face watching
Hannah was totally just watching it. I was really struggling because that's the first time since in the whole pregnancy that I've suddenly, not just in an abstract sense, but realize I'm going to witness Hannah go through that, and not in a sort of like a lovely, so I mean, like, I was feeling traumatized watching Elizabeth Moss go through it. And I was like, I suddenly
you care for her though.
I do, I've grown to care for her during the show, but I suddenly had this real moment of total reality that I'm going to watch Hannah in that situation. Yeah. And I just found it too much to watch. I covered my eyes. I just put my hands in my ears at one point.
Did you? Oh, bless you.
I don't know what. It became so, the pregnancy's been so, like, you know, I've been available for any help or whatever needed.
But Hannah's
not really needed much, to be honest. But that was so I've not really had to even think about the birth as a concept and what Hannah's going to go through. It's only now, in this last 8 weeks, I'm like, oh, right, I've got to prep myself for the, ultimately... Yeah, be a very tricky.
It's the most weirdest thing because you just. I think that's what's one of the scariest things is you just don't know how you're going to be. You might be one of these Hannah. You might be one of these women that just birth really quickly, you know, really quietly. I mean, I don't know if you ever saw Josie Long documented her birth, and that was
I've started listening to that.
She would say she had a very positive birth.
Yeah.
I managed to have her in a pool. And she was one of them, which she goes, she's like, I don't want to sound like a knob, so I don't use the word enjoyed it.
Yeah.
But I think she did. And it's possible, you know, another friend of mine said that when she was having contraction, she went, it felt like I'd taken MDA powder. And it's meant to, your body is meant to release these sort of hormones. I just think some people just don't get them. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
But she was like, woohoo! So you just don't know how you're going to be. And I'm a bit of a hippie in that way, that I do believe the hypnobirthing thing of be positive.
Yeah.
And because what else choice have you got? You know, be positive.
Because being scared is less helpful than trying to imagine it's okay.
As Sophie would say, if you're scared, your womb will close up. It's true, and I think for me the two things were the breathing And she, you know, she's a big believer, and she gets really angry with one born every minute because she's like, all they show on there is them screaming, and screaming wastes energy. And yes, and you do get to a point where you're mooing like a cow, but you might not.
Hannah loves cows.
I think trying to hurt. Well, there you go. That's my thing. I think like the day before I was about to give birth, and I'm trying to do this positive bloody birthing thing, and then there's always someone, like it was my neighbour, shouted down from above, and she's like, "How you doing?" I said, "All right, could be any day now," sort of thing. And she was like, "Oh," and then that was it. I'm not even going to tell you what she said because it was awful. She was like, "Oh, you know, it was the worst day of my life." All this sort of stuff, and I'm like,
"Yeah,
thank you so much, bye."
Yeah.
But do you remember the day that, because we did IVF, the day Hannah had the, was it that it was the implantation, wasn't it?
Yeah, the
embryo.
The eggs put in.
Yeah, going back here. So everything had gone really swimmingly, so up to that point. And like, and again, it was, the success rate of IVF is actually really low. I think we still were just doing it as like, let's just try, man.
Yeah.
I don't think it had become a reality for the actual baby concept. And then as we were walking into the IVF clinic, it's next to the hospital, there was a woman who was in like the depths of she was leaning against the wall.
Oh, was she?
Like proper going, and we just walked past and I just looked at Hannah and you just went, oh, right, this is actually a real thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, bless you.
Yeah. That's coming.
I know. I need to just get my head right to witness it. Yeah. You get your head right to go through it.
Maybe watch some positive birth videos, Carl. Watch some hypnobirthing ones.
I think I did. Do you know what I did? I listened to Deliciously Ella's podcast, and she talks about her birth story. It's almost like so saccharine and lovely. I think some people would find it very annoying because it's so like, just so positive and lovely.
She does have a self-awareness.
I think her podcast is really good and I think she's really nice and, you know, I listen to hers and it's like, oh, that sounds like, if you had that pregnancy and that's an absolute lottery win.
Yeah, that's the thing. You just don't know. And all you can do is prepare as much as possible. Some of it all goes out the blimmin' window. Sophie's advice, lots of things, but all the watching comedy to raise your oxytocin and stuff, and that was all good. But now I can't watch that comedy because it reminds me.
That's a good tip.
I'm being in pain, and I'm like, oh no, I don't want to ruin it.
I said to Carl,
yeah, go on.
You call me a slug one day. Called me a slug because I was like a big slug, and I found it really funny, really funny.
Yeah.
And I just said to him the other day, I was like, when I'm in labour, I want you to call me a slug.
I'm absolutely going to call you a slug.
And he's worried about calling me a slug because what people.
What was the other one? We watched a baby show on BBC. And there was a guy who sung to his wife while she was in birth.
She's like, "Sing to me."
And he sung.
Oh, really?
He sung "Swing Low, Sweet Chariots," and I found it so funny that I've already logged that at some point during the birth, I'm going to do that for a laugh.
Do it. Do it. Do whatever. I think you go through. Yeah, I don't know. I remember kind of, going through. Can you put this music on? And can you do this? And then just getting to a point where it's almost like you can't hear anything. You're so in a zone. It just reminds me of seeing puppies, dogs burrowing down to give birth. And you just, it's like nothing. And, oh, God, I remember I was so thirsty because you're breathing all the time. And we run out of bloody water bottles. And poor Alex, I always go on about this. And he just kept giving me orange juice in a straw. They tell you to bring straws, don't you? Because obviously you might get to a point where you're on all fours and you can't.
Yeah.
So you just get this orange juice, and it just tastes like the most acid thing. I was like, oh, it's got water, but that's how in the zone. I couldn't even say the words water. I was like, but I think, you'll be fine.
And you think like when it was kind of time.
Did you feel at that point that you were ready, or were you like, was it a few weeks before when you were like, I'm ready to have this baby now? Or were you...
When I was pregnant, you mean?
Yeah, yeah.
What, did I feel like I was ready?
At the time when the baby came, was that like, I'm ready for this to happen now? Or would you have preferred more
time? To wait a bit longer.
Yeah.
I think, let's just talk about the first one, because obviously that's the first, that's what you're going through. Yeah, but that's because I was very, very big. I got very big early on. So physically, I was just in a lot of pain. I had a thing called PPP as well.
What's that?
Pelvic pain. I think they give it a more up-to-date name now. But it's basically where your muscles everyone normally gets it, where it sort of releases the hormone ready to give birth, but you're only meant to get it in the last sort of couple of days before. But
yeah.
I got it like 12 weeks or whatever. Whoa. Or like, so it's really, and it just means you, yeah, I had to go to like physio and stuff. It's just painful.
Like
to,
yeah.
Walk and stuff. Yeah, she did have it, I think. Yeah. And so it just makes it painful. So for me, by the time I was just huge, I felt like a big elephant. I was the biggest in my NCT class. I just felt like, yeah, so I was ready in that way.
Yeah.
And mentally, I think I remember wanting to get the stuff quite early, actually, and then keep stopping myself because you sort of think, oh, it's too early to get stuff.
Yeah.
But then got to the point where, like, yeah, sod it, just get it if you want to get it.
Just say NCT, because obviously our NCT classes are going to be virtual.
Right.
We've got them over Zoom in the next couple of weeks. But we got an email from the person who leads it yesterday, and there was a link to the WhatsApp group at the bottom of
it. Neither of us have joined that yet, which is scary.
You're scared.
But no, I remember you saying about WhatsApp groups that...
I know, I make a joke out of it with laughter, so I have to be careful here. But they are really, really good.
Yeah.
I think, you know, you're intelligent people to take, you know, you might get one person who seems like she's having the most perfect time and post pictures, and I think I'm always the person that just dives in and goes, I'm having a really shit day. Anyone else?
Yeah.
And then they're really waiting for someone else to say that, you know.
Do the partners join as well, or is it just the pregnant person?
Well, there was a separate one for the I don't know how people do it now. But in a way, I think it's because, in a way, as women, you do want to talk about things, you know. You do want to say, look, my fanny's on fire. You know, any tips, you know, sit on a lollipop, I don't know, put an ice pole.
That's kind of the offshoot one afterwards, is it?
Yeah.
Right, I'll try to start a men's one.
Yes.
We could talk about our nipple
things. But you think, Carl was worried about... thinking you should change your photo,
my WhatsApp like profile photo. It's a joke. Like, it's me on a balcony in Australia with a beer and like a silly hat on and a vest. I jokingly dress like what is
like your Tinder profile.
Well, it's sort of it's like an ironically, I look like such an arsehole in it by choice that I suddenly was like, well, that they might think that's a real person.
Yeah. No, I think they are good. The group.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think do it. Don't be scared.
Yeah, but I bet
everyone else is feeling the same.
Exactly.
I think just because no one wants that person that just sends loads of messages all the time.
Yes.
The useless ones, you know, when they're just sending memes and stuff, and you're like, oh god, just. But yeah, I think mine I don't really see anymore, but it's mainly because I moved away from the area. I know a couple of them all, I think, still meet. I know if I contacted them, they'd be really happy to hear from me, I hope.
Yeah, yeah.
But my friend is a great example. Like, she's like 6 years on and they're all really good friends.
That's
like,
nice.
Holidays together. I'm always a bit jealous, actually, but I don't know if that's suburban in Essex, why, I don't know. But so it can be lovely.
I think there's another level of reality check for me with that as well. Because as well, like with your podcast, that I haven't, I don't identify with being a mum yet, you know, because I'm not yet. That's coming up. And that kind of NCT thing, particularly of the group,
I
hear a lot, is about once the baby's there and you start
that's when you start communicating and you support each other.
Yes.
And it's like, whoa, this group, once I enter into this, these are people who I'm going to have this.
That feels like,
yeah.
Yeah. But maybe you all need to go through the journey together, talk about pregnancy and stuff. So maybe, you know, that's part of it, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, I think a friend said to me, I remember when I got pregnant with Huxley and I lost this fucking filming job because of insurance and stuff. They didn't, it was only a short film. And they said, you know, you can't do it. And I was like, oh, but I'll be fine. You know, you won't be able to see I'm pregnant. And they were like, no, it's not that. It's just that, like, we haven't got insurance to cover it. And my writer, a friend of mine who's a writer, she said, Nareen starts, you are officially a parent. The sacrifice.
Yes.
Yeah.
You're already making the sacrifice. And I was like, oh.
Yeah.
I changed my mind. It's like a slow intro to being a parent.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I would have been working at the Melbourne Comedy Festival at the moment. We would have just finished on the weekend. And my friend, who's also my boss there and the producer, she just messaged me the other day and said, how do you think you would have gone, you know? Because they knew I was pregnant and it's a busy time and it's a busy job where I'd be running around looking after comedians and shows and things like that. And I was like, genuinely, I think I would have been fine. I've had such good energy and
I felt really good. There's an element of that because we've had loads of downtime as well.
No, I think that it was also that weekend when she'd asked me, this weekend just passed, I had a couple of days where I felt a bit low and it was almost like that's the end of the festival, end of festival time.
Oh. You
know when you get to an end of the festival and you're like, it's over and you feel a bit your body slows down. Was like whether my body had been still on that on that train and what it was
maybe to. I was trying to remember today because I didn't want to come on and be negative about pregnancy because I generally didn't really enjoy being pregnant but that was because of all the pain stuff, but I always had a period in the middle where I did, and I called it the honeymoon moon bit, where I was like, I want to go out gigging, and I sort of signed myself up for loads of stuff, but then unfortunately by the time the bloody gigs come around I don't want to go out. So you might have been having that burst, and I think it is about 28 29 weeks maybe.
Yeah,
I think there's a burst where you just feel like you could take on the world. I mean,
yeah,
a lot of women do.
Yeah, but and the total opposite. I've just been relaxing and lying around the house and reading books and being in isolation. So that's been the reality of it. And that's what it is. Yeah. Which the whole, you know, for every single part of this, I'm just like, whatever it is, and whatever is going to happen and the way it's going to be, there's nothing to change that. And so just being acceptant of all those different things.
Oh, that's good. That's what you can do.
Yeah, so I think we're probably
wrapping
up. I know before we started recording, you were talked about there were things that you maybe wanted to talk about. Is there anything that we haven't covered that you wanted to?
Or any tips that you think we might not have got to? Any final, like, sort of one tip that you think Hannah needs to know?
Oh my gosh, so many bloody tips.
Yeah.
Because of lockdown, you're probably not having this, but I was thinking about how you become public property when you're pregnant. And I really bloody hated that, but also made it was great comedy material. Just the way people just feel like they can shout at you. I had people shout at me.
A woman today, didn't you?
Oh, yeah, I told you. That was it. What was it?
She came past and she said, that's a girl. And I was like, it is. And then she was really funny.
She said, she goes, I bet you used to have a batty, innit? Like that. and I was
they nick your ass. They nick your ass.
Oh, I see.
Really funny.
But yeah, I haven't had any of that, actually.
I was talking, there's another group, I suppose, called Happy Parent, Happy Baby. And I went on their live thing. I'm saying one of the benefits of lockdown is that you haven't got a lot of that property thing, because it's not always great. People just throw not very good advice a lot of the time. They just think they know best. Oh my God, to give you a sum up of tip, I'll probably think of something afterwards now. Cliche early days is just enjoy it. as much as you can, and I don't know, just take each day as it comes, and don't think, oh my god, this is my life forever, my boobs really hurt, this is me forever, or this, you know, this baby's not eating, is, you know, just, I don't know, like general advice for everyone, isn't it?
I reckon I really take your advice about the song and the comedy shows that you've really connected to pain and labor. That's like, I'm gonna be choosy about what I decide to watch so that I don't.
Songs are okay though. I really like now. It's like after a bit of time.
Yeah.
I have fond memories now. So the one that reminds me of Buster is Simon Garfunkel. And it's very appropriate for him. Because he's bloody huge. He was £9 1. He was an island. but yeah, choose one, but play them. Do watch them, because they, you know, it's true. They do help. I listened to more comedy podcasts when I was having Buster, because I was huge and just laying around waiting. Just enjoy it. And yes, if I don't know when this goes out, but if people can, we're doing Screaming with Laughter online. With Next Up. So, and they are for locked in parents. So, particularly people that have got brand new babies. This is a time when they were going out and they'd be showing off their baby to family and stuff. I really feel for them. So, that's why we're trying to do these shows to bring them together. And if people can watch it with their other NCTs, you know, because they're not getting that even.
That's what I will say, like, you know, Hannah has come to see them, and like they're even the ones the live gigs are back up and running, they're so good.
Yeah, I loved it.
You can see people are so just appreciative of getting out of the house and doing something that feels normal to them, as well as being able to bring their baby.
That you're not just in a sort of like a library doing a playgroup thing. You're in a pub, you're having a bottle of Prosecco, and you're with your friends, and you're feeling normal. So trying to create that online, we'll try it. Our next one is the 29th. Cool. Of April, but we're gonna, I think they're gonna be every other Wednesday now.
Yeah,
cool. Yeah, we'll definitely share that.
And yes, we're gonna do more funny mummy podcasts. I've just been really ill, so I had to cancel it, but we're gonna do a new one with Kerry Howard.
Yeah,
in him and her, and she's quite recently become a single mum, so it's all gonna be about being a single mum in lockdown.
Yeah,
let go and enjoy being pregnant.
Hey, thank you. So good to talk to you.
And you, my love. Take care.
Thanks.
Bye. Bye.
Oh, hello you. My name's Tom Price.
Hello, I'm Dave Cribb.
You should come and join us. Every day we do a podcast called Cabin Fever, where we talk to loads of comedians who've had to cancel everything else in their lives, so they come on our podcast instead, don't they, Dave?
Yeah, it's an isolation podcast.
Dave, were you yawning at the start of that sentence then? Was it just a little yawn?
Yeah, it's basically the Great Big Owl isolation podcast. We'll have people on from all our podcasts, from your Rule of Threes, your Brian and Rogers, your Musicals, your Bitchins. If you like any of our podcasts, if you like any of those people, chances are they'll be logging onto the Zoom call and just chatting, because let's face it, they got nothing else to do.
Also, there'll be a quiz on the bill. All right, see you soon. Lots of love. Cabin FE83709. Oh, that's our
Twitter name. Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.